You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Friday morning. It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Ashley Winch in Kansas City, Missouri. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, April 5th, episode 3402. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse world.
It's Friday, and another weekend of riding is a few short hours away. Jamie and Glenn are here to help you make it through the day with some fun guests and some really bad ads. Enjoy the show.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. As you can hear, Jamie is still off dealing with family issues, and I haven't even gotten really an update, so I have no update for you other than I know she was in Florida. So we're wishing her the best, and thank you, Ashley, again for filling in. Appreciate it. It's good to have you around now. We can just, I can just call her and say, okay, you're on the show tomorrow morning. And you don't seem to mind, so that's good.
No, I always get so excited. Yes!
Well, Dr. Siemens is going to stop by today to discuss the new USEF rule on lights out at competitions. We heard about that one yesterday, the day before. And I said, you know what? I got to get Dr. Siemens on because he'll have an opinion. He has an opinion on everything. Plus, you're going to be moving right near Dr. Siemens, actually.
He will be my new neighbor, so I need to get with him on doing a trail ride post-baby, or at least go in and see in his farm and cuddle in some horses.
I think he's in the hills above Albuquerque.
I know he's not far. We talked about it during Radiothon, so
We'll have to talk to him today.
This is perfect timing for me.
Yeah, we'll ask him. and then we have UK correspondent Katie Gilmore returning to give us an update on some things going on over in the UK, social license, a bunch of events closing, and apparently we're going to talk about horses during the Tudor times. Plus, we have some really bad ads, and we were talking about it before the show. I don't think I've done really bad ads with you. I think every time you've done them, I've been out.
Well, buckle up, baby.
Plus, we have some new prizes. We're going to talk about that as well. You know what's funny is and we're going to do a post show. We'll hang around for a little bit. I have no idea what we're going to talk about, but we'll talk about something in the post show. So I just realized that I am going to be I'm flying out Monday. I have to go to a celebration of life on Tuesday in Texas, and then I'm flying from Texas up to Equine Affair on Wednesday. So the eclipse is Monday. And apparently the eclipse starts in Mexico at 1 o'clock, at 1:07 it starts in Mexico, and then it moves up the country and it leaves, it's done in Maine at 3 o'clock. So I am flying out of Gainesville here at 1:55. So I might be in the air when the eclipse, we might be taking off when the eclipse actually is happening down here. I might get to see some of it from the air, which would be kind of cool.
I hope your pilots have the special goggles on.
I know. I kind of think they're looking at the sun all the time when they're flying anyway. But but that's kind of cool, huh? But I don't think I have a window seat. So now I have to look and see today if I can switch to a window seat. And then I don't even know which side of the plane. I got to go with the right side because I'm flying toward Texas. So I'm going to go right side.
That's the only thing that makes sense to me. And, you know, bring some $2 bills and work your charm, Glenn. Somebody will give you a window
with
seat.
With my luck, the flight will be full. And and the people at the window seat will have the shade drawn. And I won't see a thing. That'll be my luck. Although you think somebody in the plane would have their shades open.
Well, maybe, you know, just make a super friendly announcement. Hey, guys.
You should be pretty much in the path, too, or right outside the path.
Yeah, I'm super close. So the Path of Total Darkness cuts through St. Louis, which is 3 hours east of where we, or I guess 2 hours east of us, somewhere like that.
And so you get mostly dark.
Yeah, I'm excited. I've never been close to a solar eclipse ever. And so this will be my first experience. We'll have the movers here. So hopefully
they'll all be taking a break.
I know, right?
That's right. You're moved next week.
Yeah, yeah, I'm so excited. The like I said, the movers will be here Monday. I guess I should go to the grocery store and get more paper goggles for them because I don't want them to come back and sue me if they go blind. I don't know. Get some Gatorades. And I always get, you know, that they don't tell you this, but I always get some beers for when they're done. And it's amazing because then none of your stuff gets broken.
So it's military movers or do they just hire locals?
They hire locals. Okay. Yeah.
I didn't know how that worked. So now there's all kinds of superstitions around pregnant people and eclipses, aren't there?
Yes. So this was so strange to me. Pregnant gals or recently pregnant gals will know there's like a million apps. And in these apps, there's all of these like forums, like Reddit, basically, but for pregnant people.
Yeah.
And this woman wrote on there that
conspiracy stuff in there must be out of this
world. Oh, you have no idea. You have no idea the conspiracy things. I just keep scrolling. I don't ever comment. I just have my popcorn and enjoy it. And this woman mentioned this, that in her culture, they said that if you go outside, you need to have a key next to your belly button. And so I looked up solar eclipse superstitions and this website, Almanac. So it's from the Almanac. I mean, what, you know, take that as you will. But it says pregnant women are sometimes warned to stay inside, not eat, not carry sharp objects, and not eat cooked food prior to the eclipse.
What?
Modern baby blogs ask if pregnant women should wear some sort of metal as a safety pin to protect the baby.
I'll send over a suit of armor for you, okay?
Some say that these superstitions date from the Aztecs, who believed that a celestial beast was biting the sun and that the same thing would happen to the baby if a pregnant mother watched.
You know, if you think about it, though, in medieval times and earlier, you know, during the Roman times and all that.
Oh, gosh, could you? They'd be like, what's going on?
I'd be freaking out. They have no idea.
Yeah. And now I guess we're still the same.
So I actually got a warning from Hertz Rental Car, which I'm flying into Houston. And I'm picking up a rental car to go up to the service the next day. And they sent a warning that expect long lines to pick up your rental car. Now, I'm coming in probably after everybody's had their rental car. I'm just hoping there's one left. Because I'm flying right into Houston, which is right in the path, you know, so it's going to be interesting next week.
Hey, maybe you'll get a free upgrade. Get like a nice little convertible or something cool.
Well, now they're also calling for Texas and even up into some of the southern states. They're calling for storms and completely cloudy on Monday.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So imagine all those people who travel and spend money to travel and then it's going to be cloudy. It's like,
oh my gosh. That's a bummer of a Monday is what that is. I mean, seriously.
I am predicting interesting travel next week between going to Houston and then up to Ohio for Equine Affair. I'm just predicting interesting travel times ahead. And then, you know, I'm almost sad actually that the service we're going to was for my old jester, and Tara and Mark were jesters together for 40 years at the Renaissance Fair Circuit, and they worked with me for 10. And it would have been so cool. She would have loved it had it been during the eclipse. She would have loved that. So we're a day off. I wish they had almost done it on eclipse day because she would have loved it.
No kidding. I mean, that talk about a party, you know, like that's grade A. And, you know, I think too, auditors, tell us in the group, like how your eclipse experience goes Monday, because I know I've seen some chat in there about like protecting their horse's eyes. Someone had a great idea of just putting bras on their horse's faces, which I just want to see pictures of that, frankly. I don't know if it's necessary, but I'd like to see pictures.
All right. Well, that's probably enough eclipse talk. It is Freestyle Friday, so you never know what's going to happen on Freestyle Friday. And we're going to do some Daily Winnies, though, before we get to Doc. Ha ha ha! We have a couple of auditor birthdays this weekend. Catherine Banner and Allison Laura. Happy birthday to both of you and your husband. Is his birthday on Sunday?
Yes, April 7th. And he always has his birthday on like terrible timed, like, I don't know.
You're moving this time.
Yeah, like life events are always happening or like we can't go do anything fun. So I'm going to make him a carrot cake before we get all of our stuff packed up Monday. And that's about all I'm delivering, honestly.
I mean, yeah, you're a little busy packing and trying to work at the same time. You were very productive this week, though. I got to give you credit. Very productive. My birthday, April 24th, always fell on Rolex weekend. So,
oh, come on.
For years, we were at Rolex. And of course, you know, for the horse husband, it's like, oh, okay. You know, but you know, I guess if you're a horse person, being at Rolex for your birthday would be wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's tailgating, yeah, day exactly. Drinking. That's a party.
It's always on my birthday. All right, your turn.
My Daily Winnie is for our new auditor that Glenn assigned to me because she has a tricky, tricky, tricky last name.
I gave this one to you.
So, Amy, we apologize in advance, but know that this is a badge of honor if we can't say your name. And this is, I'm saying this with as much love as I can. Amy Greisewicz.
Greisewicz? Greisewicz?
Greisewicz.
Greisewicz. If we're close, Amy, let us know.
But we're real happy you're here either way, Amy. Yes. G.
I think she joined just so we'd say her name, actually. Is
what, hey, that's all right. We'll take it.
All right, let's hear from Kentucky Performance Products, our terrific sponsor, and then we're going to go to Dr. Madison Siemens of Cornerstone Equine Medical Services to talk about the new policy over at the USEF that came out in the last couple of days about turning the lights out.
Frequently Asked Questions brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. My older gelding is having trouble holding his weight, and I'm afraid to feed him any more senior feed. He gets all the hay he wants. What do you recommend? Many older horses are eventually unable to maintain acceptable body condition on a typical diet of hay and grain alone. When you want to add calories without the risk of digestive upset, we recommend Equijoule Rice Bran. It is an excellent source of easy-to-digest calories for older horses. The fat in Equijoule is a concentrated energy source. It will increase calorie consumption and improve body condition without risking grain overload. Start your older horse on 1/4 pound per day and work up to 1 or 2 pounds per day over a few weeks. Remember, small meals fed 3 to 4 times per day will help your older horse better utilize the feed. You can learn more about Equijoule at kppusa.com. Got questions about your feeding program? We can help. Email Karen at questions@kppusa.com or call us at 859-873-2974.
Hey, Dr. Siemens, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, I'm surprised you called me. It's like the first time I ever had a second date, you know?
Oh, you've been on the show a few times. Hey, we got a couple things to talk about. We were just talking about the eclipse, and I can't tell you how many Facebook posts I've seen of people worried about their horses going blind during the eclipse. Have you ever posted a response that's a serious answer, or were you just laughing?
No. I've had to answer this question a couple of times recently, and so my suggestion is that you just put a pinhole in a piece of cardboard, and then you just get the horse to watch the eclipse through that, which is a lot safer. Or you can buy him a welding helmet. I mean, whichever works. You know.
We just learned that pregnant women should have metal by their belly buttons during the eclipse, or something's going to happen. Well, we're not sure.
And it has to be in the shape of a pyramid. I mean, you've got to get specific here, okay?
What makes people think their horses are going to watch the sun in any way, shape, or form?
Well, I guess that's one way of removing themselves from the gene pool. I just don't, because the duration of this is so short, I just don't see there as being much of a physiological effect. I mean, the sun goes down almost every night where horses live. So, I mean, I don't think it's going to come as a shock that all of a sudden it's dark, you know? So, I mean, it's something to think about, but I can't, from the scientific standpoint, I can't relate to anything physiological that would affect them. Although we can talk about this light dark thing here in a minute, but I don't see that as being a real problem.
Yeah, I didn't either, and I had a tough time not commenting. I almost got into trouble. So Doc, the USEF a couple days ago came out with a ruling because, you know, we don't have any serious things to, I mean, this is serious. I get that they're doing a good thing. It's just right now, in lieu of everything that's happening with trainers abusing their horses and stuff, this is the one we decide to tackle. So what they have done is they made a ruling that USEF sanctioned horse shows, that there should be 6 hours of consecutive overnight darkness, or what they're saying, minimal lighting and noise, to allow stabled horses to rest adequately overnight. And I've been in some barns during horse shows that the frickin' music goes all night and it's really loud and they have every light on in the place. So I kind of get that this is a good idea, but how much is there studies that show that horses really need REM sleep like people do? How's that work?
Oh, so glad you mentioned that. We've been studying sleep in horses for a long time. Sue McDonald at UPenn there at New Bolton Center, she's a PhD behavioralist, and she's probably done as much or more of anybody about looking at sleep parameters in horses. There's a young one that's out there at UC Davis now, named Monica Ailman, has also done some fascinating studies with electromagnetic sensing things about muscle movement and stuff like that. It appears that a horse really does need to have some sleep, and REM sleep. So like in humans, we know that REM sleep, that early parts of sleep where your eyes are moving underneath your eyelids, is really important for a restorative type of sleep. Horses, according to McDonald's work and also Ailman's work, the horses need probably about 5 hours of sleep a day. Usually that's going to occur at night. And if a horse is really comfortable in his environment, he'll actually lay down. So the challenge with this and what has stemmed a bunch of this research is, starting about 20 years ago, people were talking about horses having narcolepsy. So they'd be standing there and all of a sudden they just fall over, or you'd cinch your saddle up and the horse would just fall over. I mean, there was some trigger that would make them fall over or not. And come to find out, these horses are sleep deprived. So it's not a matter of, narcolepsy is a neurologic condition that's very, very complicated. But most of these horses are just sleep deprived, and they're just finally getting to a place where they're just exhausted and they fall over.
So, you know, one of the things that a lot of the comments on this particular thing, and there have been a lot on the posts about this new ruling, was it's the typical USEF to say for 6 consecutive hours overnight, stabling must have minimal lighting and noise to allow stabled horses to rest adequately. Is it up? The question was, it's kind of ambiguous, like everything else the USEF does. What's minimal lighting? You know, what is that? And I guess it's up to the TD to determine?
Well, just like any kind of rules that we have and any kind of organized horse deal, some of these things are really hard to enforce. But I think from a physiologic point, I think if we can educate people to understand how important this physiological sleep is, I think maybe people will start to listen and start to think about the benefit of the horse. And we know, there's a ton of physiology here that's involved here, and I'll try not to bore you with the details, but dark, 8 hours of dark is very important to get enough melatonin coming from the pineal gland that you can get some nice restful sleep. And this also sets off some other physiological mechanisms that are related to photoperiod. And so our coat shedding, cycles and mares, all of these things are related to this photoperiod. That's not how much light there is, it's how much dark there is. Mm. So, for example, if we want to start breeding a mare in February so we can get a January foal, we'll put those mares under artificial lighting starting on the 1st of December. This sets that biological clock to go through this physiological transition period where they're not cycling to where they are cycling so we can start breeding in February. So it's not a matter of how much light they get. It's a matter of how much dark they get, which is the stimulation of the melatonin, and it gets even more complicated from there. So, but if we're thinking about the physiological health and well-being of the horse, 6 hours is probably not enough. I think it would be a real good idea to have this of 8 hours of darkness and quiet. And one of the interesting things that that came out from Monica Ailman's research at UC Davis is that you can walk down a shed row in a dark area with a red light, and you can still see where you're going, and you can check on horses or whatever, but you're not going to disturb them. And yeah. So I think this is something to consider. I really do. I think if people understand that this will benefit their horses, maybe this will kind of produce a movement where people are more conscious of how important this is.
Yeah, and Jennifer, I know a lot of people that have boarding stables and stuff or whatever, just the horses at home, do night checks where they'll go out at 10 or 11 o'clock. Jennifer never did that. When we tucked the horses in at 6 or 7 or whenever we were done, that was it. We're not going back out. And her theory was, I don't want to wake them up. Why would I go out at 10 or 11 o'clock just to wake them up, to disturb them when they're quiet? Why am I going to go out and get everybody all up, disturbed again? That was her point. Maybe she had a point,
I think it's something to consider. I've known several people in the hospital, they would wake them up at 2 in the morning to give them a sleeping pill. I mean, what's
the hospital, they're waking you up all night long. It's like, there's no sleeping in a hospital. it's good to know that physiologically that there's something here. And I don't think it's a bad idea. I mean, how many times you've been someplace where the rap music's going to 3-4 in the morning and it's noisy and you can't sleep? It bothers you, right?
Big time.
Yeah, same big thing. That's why we all live in the country.
So we know that horses, when they're in a comfortable environment, and the interesting thing about what Sue McDonald's work has done is that these horses that are showing signs of basically narcolepsy, basically they're just falling asleep in the middle of the day. So they're not able to lie down and get their REM sleep at night when things are quiet. They're not comfortable. They're fearful. They're prey animals. They don't want to lay down, because that's when they get eaten. And so a horse is not going to lay down to get his REM sleep, which a horse only needs about 30 minutes or so. At least the current research is showing that the horses need about 30 minutes of REM sleep where they're down and completely out in order to get the kind of rest they need. Because they can doze standing up. They lock that reciprocal apparatus on their hind limbs. I mean, everybody's seen horses do that. But McDonald's work showed that at night, these horses that are in a comfortable environment, they will lie down for about 30 minutes. If they're not in a comfortable environment, i.e. going to a horse show, okay, that's going to be really difficult for these guys to get. And these old campaigners that have been going to shows, 10 weekends a year, I mean, these guys work right into this deal, and there's not going to be an issue there. But younger horses or horses that are nervous or less experienced horses, they're gonna have a hard enough time relaxing anyway. But if there's rap music and lights and all this stuff going on 24/7, I mean, they got no shot. They got no chance of getting some rest. And so I think this has the potential to affect their performance. And I mean, if the goal is to bring home the ribbons, don't you want to set them up to succeed?
So it comes back to what we said before. It's a good idea, but is there somebody to enforce it? It's got to be enforced, or it's just useless at this point.
But I think if enough people start hollering, it will self enforce.
Yeah. Well, it gives people grounds to holler, right?
So precisely. Yeah. No. If the guy in the stall next to you starts hollering at you, you go, well, maybe you have a point.
All the braiders out there are going to have to get the little headlamp night lights out. One other thing that we wanted to talk to you about, or Ashley did, is Ashley's moving to your neighborhood this next week.
Has she really researched this? This may not be something she wants to do.
Well, I don't have much of a say in it. Let's just say my husband works for Uncle Sam, and he tells us where to go and when to go there.
Ooh, where are you going?
We're going to be moving to Albuquerque.
Okay, that's about 3 hours up the road. Yeah, there's some nice riding, and all this whole state has got. There's a lot of public lands and trails, and it's just some phenomenal riding up here.
Well, I know one of these weekends we get there next Friday, so give me a couple minutes. But I'd love to come down and see you and the horses, and just get some horse on with you.
Oh, you bet. We've got within about 15 minutes of here, we have a place called Fort Stanton State Park. There's 72 miles of trails.
Oh my gosh.
Only
you might have to have the baby first before you go out for 72 miles, Ashley.
Yeah, there is a minor, you know, I am 6 months pregnant, but like tabling that, I can't wait to get out there and do some serious trail riding. So I will be hollering at you, Doc, for all kinds of recommendations.
Oh, we just love to have you. We're looking forward to meeting you. So yeah, Annette and I, we've got lots of the trails here locally kind of scoped out. We're still exploring the rest of the state, but here in Lincoln County, we've got a bunch of it kind of lined out. And then we're going up to Utah here Monday, and we've been to Mount Rushmore and Bryce Canyon. I mean, we've been all over with these horses and our two little Jack Russell terrorists.
Well, Doc, where can people find you?
Oh, I'm at, we do some online consults now at cornerstoneequine.com, one E between the equine and cornerstone. The book is still out and available on Amazon. It's Never Trust a Sneaky Pony and Other Things They Did Not Teach Me in Veterinary School. That's available on Amazon. It is an interesting treatise. Took me 20 years to write. If James Herriot and Jeff Foxworthy wrote a book, that's kind of what it would be.
That's a good description, actually. That's a good description. I like that. Thanks, Doc. We appreciate you joining us.
Hey, I enjoyed it myself. Give me a holler.
All right. Take care.
Adios.
You said your mother got his book too, right?
Yes. When we were down at the World Equestrian Center in February or March, she's like, "Oh my gosh, I got that book that the guy who was on Radiothon." And she's my number one fan. So ipso facto, she's now HRN's number one fan.
Hi, Mom. All right, let's talk about a brand new sponsor to Horses in the Morning. And then we're going to call Katie Gilmore, who's our UK correspondent, to talk about what's going on over there.
No one knows your horse's thoughts, emotions, and moods as well as you. Just as in touch as you are with their personality, Sentinel's expert nutritionists are in tune with their dietary needs. With feeds in the form of extruded nuggets to provide exceptional nutrition and formulas made for every stage of life and activity level, Sentinel's wide choice of carefully crafted feeds make it easy to find the perfect fit to better your horse's health. Learn more at feedsentinel.com/horseradionetwork. That's feedsentinel.com/horseradionetwork. And joining us now, we have Katie Gilmore, our official, very official UK correspondent. Katie, happy Friday.
We were just talking about a
bit of an incident that's put a kink in your horse plans.
Oh, it really has. Yes, coming up for 6 weeks ago, I managed to dislocate my knee while standing still, which I think takes special skill.
I think you should be in the Guinness Book for that one, Katie. That might be a record.
Do you know what's really frustrating is that 3 days after it happened, I was due to go and view a horse. I'm looking for a fourth horse at the moment. And this horse on paper was perfect. And the owners loved the sound of the home. So they'd held her for 2 weeks, not letting anyone else see her. And I had to ring them and say, "Look, I'm really sorry, but I have dislocated my knee. I can't walk. I can't drive. So I certainly can't ride." So that's a bit gutting. So at the moment, my budget for my new horse is just kind of burning a hole in my bank account, waiting to be spent.
Well, if you were in the United States, your budget would be going toward hospital bills. At least you don't have that. So right?
Yeah, that is very, very true. Yes, that is true. You just have a lot of waiting.
Well, yeah, it's true. Yeah, you've been 6 weeks and they haven't. We wish you the best of luck. That just sucks.
It does suck. Thank you.
Yeah. And you know, I've been on crutches many a time myself, being a horse girl. And what I recommend is a backpack, and you fill it with everything, you know, snacks, pen, paper, laptop, maybe a bottle of wine, Prosecco.
Yeah.
So that you have it on the go.
Intake has really gone up since.
I'm sure. Well, you know, science shows that Prosecco does increase the speed of healing, and that scientist is me. So
red wine actually is proven as an anti-inflammatory.
There you go.
So I'm taking that and I'm running with it. Well, I'm not running with it. I'm hobbling with it.
She's got one of those little backpack water things with red wine in it and the little straw coming to her mouth. Yeah.
Amazing. That'll do.
So, Katie, for the scoop from the UK on the other side of the pond, tell us about the announcement of the Charter for the Horse.
Yes. So the Charter for the Horse has been welcomed. I'm not sure how your users work at the moment, but we are inundated with comments on social license around riding and cruelty and, that riding's a cool sport, that professional dressage riders are not treating their horses fairly. Mm-hmm. So it's quite welcome to see one of the big organisations counteracting that bad press with something positive. So the British Equestrian Federation have now launched the Charter for the Horse. It hangs on six principles of empathy, care, respect, consideration, ethics, and learning. And the vast majority of all of the key bodies, British dressage, British show jumping, and so on, they have all signed up to this charter, which is really, really encouraging, I think. Carl Hester himself has spoken out to say that he's delighted to see the release of the charter and how positive it is. He's known for always treating his horses as horses first and supporting their mental health to make sure that they can perform at their best as horses. He's kind of a good spokesman for it as well.
Is the charter just say be nice to your horses, or is there something enforceable around it?
It's not enforceable. The only enforcing agency is the RSPCA, which is the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. They're the only organisation that can enforce anything against any kind of cruelty. It's an education thing more than anything else. It's recognising horses as intelligent and emotional animals and prioritising their physical and mental health. I guess, in a way, if everyone is buying into this and is being educated, the standard of care should increase.
Right. Like a step in the right direction, a good first step kind of situation.
I think so. I mean, to be honest, the majority of horse people in this country, they love their horses. They're treated brilliantly. You know, there's always the standing joke. My horses have an acupuncturist. They have a sports massage person. And I'm there with a tin of baked beans because I can't afford anything else because, you know, the horses are eating their gold-plated chaff or something. And that's kind of the mentality of most horse people in this country. But, you know, with the negative press that's coming, these ongoing conversations about social license, is it okay to ride horses? Is it okay to put a bit in their mouth? Is it okay for them to have a saddle put on? You know, there needs to be something that counteracts those comments. And I think that's what the BAF are addressing with this.
Totally. And we are having the same exact kind of conversations over here. And I'm excited to see the conversation start, right? Because at least we're talking about it. And then hopefully that can ignite some change.
Absolutely. I mean, I think part of the problem is social media, in that you can put a photograph that is a moment in time that can look like a horse has been ridden harshly or ridden unfairly, but it is a moment in time, and it isn't necessarily that the horse was in that position for 20, 30 minutes, you know? And I'm not saying it's okay that they're in a bad frame or being ridden badly for even a split second. But, you know, there are levels that you need to take into consideration of what isn't cruelty, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So switching gears a little bit, a bit of sad news, it looks to me, the Festival of British Eventing at Gatcombe Park has been cancelled.
It has. Well, we've actually had loads of cancelled events at the start of the season. I don't know what your weather's been like, but ours has been colossally awful. This whole winter, it's been the wettest winter on record. And it's literally, you step outside your door and it's a quagmire. My husband does some forestry work, and I've actually said to him, you need to stop just filling orders and start building us an ark because everything is underwater.
That's saying
everywhere.
A lot living in Britain.
Oh, honestly, it's been horrendous. We've had storm after storm after storm. So lots of events have been cancelled because the ground is horrendous and it's dangerous to run on. But Gatcombe, yeah, I mean, a lot of it is the cost, is the conversation that's coming from the Phillips family. It's really sad. It started back in the 80s and Princess Anne had the dream that she wanted to hold an event at their family home. But they've had adverse weather last year, so the event was abandoned. Obviously, they lose a great deal of money when mm-hmm. that happens. And the cost for running an event on what is a greenfield site just makes it unfeasible to run. The cost of insurances in this country now has got silly. But by all accounts, the family themselves are very, very sad about it. They're not saying it will never happen, but at the moment, there's no plans to reinstate it.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and another one that we talked about a couple of weeks ago is Blair Castle said this is their last year too.
Absolutely. It's really, really sad. I mean, British Eventing, I'm not sure how much they've necessarily helped the situation where they've downgraded some events as well. Eventing is a very expensive sport, I think, worldwide, not just in this country. So a lot of riders are having to really choose their events and where they go. But it's putting some events out of action because they're either not getting enough riders coming or they're having to abandon due to weather and they're just losing too much money. But that does my point of where are people going to go?
Yeah.
You know, there's no longer local events and you've really got to travel to go to an event. Are you really going to go and ride an event, have to pay for overnight stabling, have to pay for transport? It starts becoming untenable.
Yeah.
Well, to switch gears again towards something I know this is special for me and Glenn because we can always do horse history when Jamie's not here because she doesn't care about horse history or doesn't care for it. And so I was super excited, and I know Glenn was too, when you sent over the article about the Tudor era horse cemetery and, you know, the sale and I guess like distribution of some of the British horses way back when. So tell us more about that.
I was really, really excited when I came across this. I'm a bit of a nerd for history anyway. So Exeter University found a Tudor era horse cemetery. It's in Westminster, which is in central London, obviously. It would, in medieval times, have been located just outside the walled city of London, but it's very close to the royal palaces. And what this discovery showed us was that these animals were considered like a Ferrari, like modern supercars. And they were actually sourced from all over Europe and brought into the country for breeding programs and for competing on. Now, they were considered big horses, but they were only about 15-3 hands high. That was a big horse back then, but I guess people were shorter as well. But you think they would have been ridden by knights when they were jousting. So this 53 horse with a full adult male in armor, they would have had to have been very, very strong to be able to do that. So they looked at the teeth on the skulls, which was really, really interesting. From looking at the teeth, they were able to identify where the horses had come from. So whether they'd come from Spain, Italy, they looked at North and Eastern Europe. And that's where kind of the modern sport horses have come from. It's the blended horses from around Europe. But I thought it was really interesting that they were traded similarly in a way that we still do now. I'm guessing that the transport game was probably a lot more difficult than perhaps now. You know, we have the tunnel coming from France into Kent. The American transporters now just have them on the lorries and they drive underneath the channel. In those days, they'd have had to come on boats. But I thought it was really interesting.
I did too. I really, really enjoyed this article. And we will link this article and everything else we've talked about so far in our show notes. And then finally, Katie, you know we couldn't have you on without giving us an update on your show, Poles, Piaf, and Prosecco.
Poles, Piaf, and Prosecco. That's right. So we have just published, I think, episode 17. So we're nowhere near as far along as you guys are. But we've had some more amazing special guests come on. We published a bonus episode on Easter Monday with a lady who is really, really inspiring. She is the queen of resilience. She is an international dressage rider. She battled Lyme's disease from 2013. Now, our doctors here are not as they don't have the understanding of Lyme disease that you have over
here. Our doctors don't either. I'm 20 years with Lyme disease, chronic Lyme, and our doctors don't either.
No, it's horrendous. She ended up with heart issues and everything else. And about 4 years of coming in and out of hospital with various Lyme-related issues. She got herself back on track. And then she had a fall from a horse out hacking when a dog walker lost control of some dogs. We talked about this a few weeks ago. But she had a fall from a horse, obliterated her pelvis and her sacroiliac joint. And we talked about her recovery and her resilience and how the doctors said, you know, obviously like a true horsewoman, her first question was, when can I ride? And the doctors really told her off and said, look, it's going to be 2 years before we even know if you can walk. So within 6 months, she was on the back of a horse. So we talk about her mindset and how she's kind of overcome those issues. And it's a phenomenal listen, one, because of the information about Lyme's. All the juvenile ticks are just coming out at the moment here. And secondly, just her mindset is phenomenal. We also talked to an equine dentist who was really interesting on teeth. So she was great. And we reviewed Kylie Minogue's Prosecco, which was great fun. Because with my rather strange sense of humour, I was getting as many Kylie songs into what we were saying as I could. So, you know, we were spinning around. We had the locomotion, all of those things.
Fantastic.
So we had a lot of fun doing it. And we've just recorded one where we've reviewed Gary Barlow from Take That, Rosé. And Tanya's not a great fan of Take That, so most of the time she was just looking at me blankly.
We're glad you guys aren't having any fun doing your show.
Such a good time.
And of course, you can find it any podcast player. Just look up Poles, Piaf, and Prosecco. Well, thanks,
that's
Katie.
Right.
You're always a joy. We really appreciate you joining us, and we'll talk to you again next month. Hopefully, with happier news
thank
on all
so
fronts,
much.
Yours and the horse world.
It's like, well, let's hope so. I'll try and find some cheerful things for you.
All right. Good luck, Katie.
Take care.
All right. Bye bye. Wow. She was talking to us before we started recording, and her knee's a mess. I mean, just a mess. And she did it. Basically, she just twisted her leg standing. It's like,
yeah. She was holding her horse. I mean, for goodness sake, yeah. Didn't even happen in the saddle.
I mean, her knee is like twisted around to the other side. Just crazy stuff. Ugh. There you go. Happy Friday, everybody. We're going to hear from my new horse, and then we're coming back with some really bad ads.
For first-time horse owners and new riders, finding the information and support you need can be challenging. That's why Equine Network has partnered with Sentinel and Absorbeen to bring you My New Horse. From important horsekeeping information and how-to videos to social media communities, exclusive experiences, and more, My New Horse is your one-stop shop for riders of all levels and disciplines looking for easy-to-understand horse care information and guidance. Start your horse ownership journey today. Visit MyNewHorse.com.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads, that time of the week when listeners submit ads from Craigslist or Facebook or someplace, and we just have a little bit of fun with them. I think we have probably done thousands of these over the years, and we usually give away prizes every month, and this month is no exception. We have a brand new group of prizes for you. One of them is, yes, we haven't had this in a while, a box of crap from my office. And the reason we have that is we're doing spring cleaning here, and I just keep finding this crap, and Jennifer says, put a box of crap together, get rid of it. So you're going to get my crap. And so one of the lucky winners is going to get stuff. Now, some of it's nice stuff, some of it, meh, you probably don't want it, and you can throw it out yourself. So that's going to be coming your way to one of our lucky winners. Also, another annual subscription to US Rider, 24/7 nationwide plan, covers everything from lockouts to jump starts to towing your vehicles, trucks, and trailers. You're covered whether you're towing or not. So even when you're not towing your horse trailer, US Rider will cover your cars. So it's kind of like AAA for horse people. And one of the cool things is a couple of years ago, they took and made their call center US based. So you'll get people that speak English and then can help you out and get your car rescued or your trailer rescued or horses rescued from the side of the road. So definitely that is something that you're going to want to win. That's like a $200 value.
And I think new to the show, we just got our grubby little mitts on a year of Equestrian Plus, which is your one-stop shop for world-class training valued at $150. So Equestrian Plus is a streaming service that puts the best in the saddle right at your fingertips. Learn from Olympic legends like five-time dressage medalist Stephen Peters, show jumping powerhouse Ann Krasinski, and mastermind eventer William Fox Pitt. With over 5,000 training videos, you'll have access to step-by-step tutorials, in-depth clinic footage, exclusive training sessions, and more. So I know I would like to win this, but I've been told I'm not allowed to.
You're not allowed, no. So Jamie's been complaining about that for 14 years. Well, we got some great prizes this month. Everybody that submits an ad will be entered. And at the end of the month, we'll just draw names and give away the prizes. So we have a bunch of people that submitted ads that we're not going to have time to get to this time. Shannon, by the way, she sent in an ad. She read it herself and sent it in. But Shannon, I just can't use it because it's a little too long. And it was kind of sad. So it kind of just made me sad. You read it very well, but we just can't use it. Melanie, Allison, Steph, Margaret, Jenny, Amy, Chantel, and Cynthia all sent in ads that we're just not going to have time to get to. But we do appreciate you sending them in, and you are entered into the drawing. Our friend Charlotte sent this one in.
Hi, this is Charlotte. I'm calling from Wellington, Florida, but I have a bad ad from the Ocala Equestrian Community Facebook page. Okay. Hello, I'm looking to purchase a horse. Anywhere from a baby up to 12 years old, preferably able to ride / run on the track.
What?
No health issues. Good with kids. Price limit, $1,000 cash. If you can find that, it's worth $1 million.
So they want a horse that's able to run in the track between like 1 year old and 12 years old and also good with kids. Yeah, good luck with that.
I just need something to throw my 3-year-old on to do a quick like 3 miles around the track. Yeah, no big deal.
Do they think you can get race horses for $1,000?
I'm so confused.
I have no idea. That came out of our town where I live. Okay, Michelle sent this one in. Okay. There's a picture of a
Sorrel,
yellowish, Appaloosa,
Roan,
I don't know.
Maybe?
I don't know.
Got a beautiful mane. Yeah. Beautiful mane.
Laura Sissel. I don't know if that's who posted it or the name of the horse. I'm not sure. This fat. Oh, my God. This fat. I can't even say the word. This fat.
B
is looking for someone else's hay bale to munch on. He's halter broke, but otherwise not much has been done with him. He's 7 years old, approximately 14 hands tall, and 14 hands wide. He is pretty fat. Project plus pretty. Contact them today.
He's a square 14 hands.
He is. And apparently this person is really sick of eating all the hay.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, next we have from Michelle. This looks like a Facebook ad. I have a very nice 2-year-old foundation Appaloosa stud colt for located in Sholo, Arizona. If someone is interested, please send me a private message and I'll send you pictures, copy of registration, and anything else you would like to know. I've advertised him and a lot of places to find you my new home. So if you are interested, just give me a private message. Thank you.
Okay, so she's posted a bunch of places, and now she's just down to, if you want any details, just contact me, because I'm done. And that tells me, what's that tell you? It tells me either the horse is not put together very well, or she wants a whole lot of money for this 2-year-old.
Or this is just a scam written by a bot, and
yeah,
there's no horse
be
to be
too.
Had.
I got to look up, while I'm doing the next ad, look up Sholo, Arizona, and we'll see if that's an actual place. And by the way, Spay, Neuter, and Geld. That's,
oh, it is.
It is?
Sholo, yep.
How many
Sholo
people live in
city
Sholo?
City limits. Let's see, area code, population 12,000.
Oh, wow, it's big. for Arizona. Glenda sent the next one in. It's very short. Looking for a free horse to put with my mare so she ain't alone in the pasture.
Well, you know, pastures are very dangerous to have near your mares.
Yes, that's true.
As we all know. How appropriate for Easter.
Yeah, and pastors don't like being alone either. They really like a congregation. That was sent in by Glenda and Adrian. Sorry about that, Adrian. Oh, Lorene sent the next one in. She came through. She recorded one.
Good morning.
Good morning,
it's Lorene Barden, and I'm going to read a really bad ad. And this is a Craigslist ad for a horse, thoroughbred, $8,000. I am selling my brown Torobred, Torobred mare, and her six-month-old half Torobred and quarter horse son, .. There is also the saddle and Benta. Don't know what that is. He is a noble. I thought it was a mare. He is a noble and beautiful animal. If you know how to ride, you will love him. He is not for beginners, since he listens very well. Not for beginners, what? But listens very well. Okay. .. I am selling them because I have to move and I can't bring them with me. I didn't think that one day I would be away from them. That's it. Don't know if it's a mare or a he. They don't really specify. They don't tell you what the horse does for $8,000, what this thoroughbred can do. So that's my ad. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Is it for beginners or not? I'm very confused. That was a very bad ad.
Torobreds are very rare, yes. So that price is probably, you know, it's a supply-demand thing. Yeah,
got it. Torobreds with babies.
The baby's half off, amazingly. Because he's half Torobred, so you see... Anyway, it's a lot of math for a Friday morning, Glenn, and you know I don't math.
I know you don't.
Next from Beth, we have an antique style horse trailer. Oh, I just scrolled to the picture. Okay, description. Antique style horse trailer sits on a 1960s military truck and bed frame. Don't tell my husband I'm selling it. Shh, emoji. If listed, it's available. And, gosh, Glenn, I'm almost at a loss for words. So we have a what looks like
a prison transport trailer for horses
on a truck bed, but the wheel is not in the wheel well. It's sitting on the fender.
Oh yeah, there is no wheels.
There is spikes everywhere.
Yeah, it does look like a prison van that you want to keep your horse from escaping, because it appears there is spikes at the top. Like, if the horse tried to jump out, it'd be getting impaled.
I think you'd have to, whatever, I mean, I hope nobody with a horse actually bought this, but if someone did put a horse in this, they'd have to put a grazing muzzle on it and then call their horse Hannibal Lecter. Yes. That's the only way that this is acceptable.
Great.
Yep, that's the only way. And you know, at least it's got some nice ventilation.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, there's no walls. it's all just bars. Oh my God, how much they want for that?
I need a tetanus shot just looking at it.
They wanted $400 for that.
Oh, I mean, that might be worth it in metal scraps.
You have to pay somebody to take it away nowadays.
Well, yeah, it doesn't even have wheels.
Andrew sent this one in. Ohio's cheap or free horses. Must be on Facebook. ISO, I am looking for a free horse, nothing too old. I want a horse I can trail ride. Nothing 14 hands. I'm looking for 16 hands and nothing over that. And nothing gated. Can be greenbroke, but nothing crazy. Nothing's in this. Can be a mare or gelding, but I do prefer mares. So this is a really bad ad, because all they're saying is what they don't want.
Yeah.
They're not actually saying what they do want. It would have been much more positive if they had actually, you know what kind of person this is, too.
Oh, 110%.
Oh, they are the glass half empty person, and they're always bitching about something, this one.
They send their food back every time at a restaurant.
Oh, my mother was that way. Oh God. She bitched about every meal she ever had at a restaurant.
Oh, it's so embarrassing.
And then, and then they wonder why you don't want to go out to dinner with them.
Right.
Oh my God! Am I the one, the only one that had a mother like that? It was bad. We hated it.
From Allison, we have. Oh, it's a long one. I wish I knew where so I could apply the right regional accent.
Yeah, I have no idea.
But, all right, I don't got a character for you, Allison. But this is good. Oh, this is fun. Do you need a horse who is idiot proof?
Yes.
One who has built in. That's it. That's the ad.
Yes, is the answer. How much you want?
One who has built in safety mechanisms and stops to let you rebalance before you hit the dirt. One that deals with shenanigans and awful riding while still being quiet and amazing. Check out the video at the bottom to see how Lady reacts to idiot riding. Quiet Lady lives up to her jockey club name. She's just that. 5 years old, 16 hands, and unflappable as shown in the video. Auto changes, flat balance movement, and great over fences. If you can't find the distance, Lady will just pick one for you. She's going to go far in the hunter ring. I want Lady.
Yeah, anyway.
I want this horse. She did come off the track at the end of 2022 with a small bow. It's cold and set. Bowed tendon. Yeah, sorry. It's cold and set and doesn't bother her. She had a year off after sustaining it before being restarted slowly and correctly. Currently barefoot, no maintenance, and sweet as could be. Not marish at all. If a small bow doesn't bother you and you want a quality, idiot-proof horse, please message me. Read message, not comment. For normal videos and more info. Adult inquiries only, and if you ask me questions already answered in the ad, I'll have to bump up the frequency of my therapy sessions, and that's just not cool. So please put your reading comprehension skills to work here.
How many 14-year-olds did she have contacting her, or 12-year-olds? Or
I want to be friends with the person who posted
this. Yeah, I know. You want to go out to dinner with this one.
For sure. Yeah, not the other guy, but this one we'll go out to dinner with.
Allison lives in Oklahoma City, I think. Actually, I think Jamie.
Yeah. I'll be driving right by you next week, Allison.
Faye sent the next one in. Oh, it's in Ocala, too.
Oh, it's another neighbor
for
you.
Yeah, Ocala's represented today. Ocala Equestrian Community. Hey, I'm not even friends with that one on Facebook. That's a new one. Anyone looking for a part-time help must know how to drive a truck and horse trailer without hitting things. Driving through closing gates, smoking cigarettes while filling hay bags, have a horse sense, not putting halters on upside down, not dramatic, not psycho, not having a needy wife home, male, female. I'm not sure what that means. Not a chain smoker, sending creepy pictures, drive speed limit, enjoy no showers.
What?
Not riding a pony when you were six. Trips are 4 to 5 days long. No drama, no drugs, no grinder locator on, so you have to pull off exits for casual meetings.
My
oh my God, did this happen to this person? Is there anyone abnormal because the criteria above seems to be the norm? Please contact. Oh my God, who the hell were they hiring? Oh, and that's a part-time job, by the way.
Oh,
my God. I want to talk to this person and hear the stories from the previous ones.
That's a scoop if I've ever heard one.
Did they really pull off wanting to meet a grinder person on an exit?
Listen, this is a morning show.
I really need to know about this. This is a post show right here. We're talking to this person. She crossed out the name. Darn it. Who sent this one in? Faye, who was the person?
Yeah, Faye,
I gotta know the story.
We won't share. Just send us. We need the scoop.
And negative ads seem to be the theme of the day. <It's> like,
Okay, and our last ad came from Charity. We have a 5-year-old buckskin crossbred. We bought him and was totally lied to. He is not what we were told or as he was advertised. You will need a cowboy to ride him past the first minute, then he's fine. He's sound and no health issues. Located in Adrian, Missouri, 2500.
2500 for a horse that's going to buck you off in 10 seconds? There is a theme. Today's ads have all been negative.
You're right. They're all negative. It's all negative. Other than the idiot proof. Yeah. I mean. Jeez.
You know, Jennifer doesn't plan it that way. She just puts the ads up, but every week there's a theme. It's not.
I love that. That's so funny.
All right, well, we're going to actually head out to our property this weekend. We're going to bring the ponies along. It's supposed to be beautiful weather here in Florida in the 70s and 40s at night, which we know is going to end here pretty soon. So we're going to be taking advantage of that going out there. We're hoping to finish our loft on the inside of the barn where we're going to be putting the tack room and the loft for storage up above. So we're going to be working on that this weekend. You're going to be packing.
Yeah, it's my least favorite. And making a carrot cake for Zach.
It's going to be one
hell of a weekend, guys.
I do love carrot cake. It's one of my favorites.
This would be my great aunt's from scratch recipe.
You have to do it next time you're on the show.
I will. My mom, she like typed it up and sent it over because I was like, I need that carrot cake recipe.
Oh, yeah. I want the recipe. I love carrot cake.
I'll tell you guys the secret ingredient. It's crushed pineapple, which I know sounds crazy, but you don't taste it and it keeps the cake incredibly moist.
Yeah, because carrot cake can get dry. Some carrot cakes are
dry. Yes, it can. Yeah. And so that crushed pineapple just keeps it a little moist, a little bit tangy. Oh my God. My mouth is watering now.
We've had a lot of food talk this week on the show. And by the way, Joy got a good reaction to her recipes on Wednesday, but she promised a recipe for some salsa. And what's it, salsa?
The mango coleslaw. Everybody's waiting for it.
Yeah, I'll have to get a hold of Joy and tell her she needs to post that in the auditor room because everybody's waiting for the mango coleslaw recipe. But next time you're on Carrot Cake.
Got it.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate it. Honors, hold on. We don't have much time. We went long today, but we will definitely hang out with you for a minute. That'll happen in just a minute.